Faith, 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 faith. We believe, we believe, we believe. We've heard things like that. We've heard it in so many different ways. But if we say that we believe on Jesus Christ, what is the result of this faith? What should we expect if we have true biblical faith? And that's coming at you this morning. Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. We are glad to be with you here this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. If you'd like to support us even more so, go to godsresistance.com, where you can find out how to contact us. Please pray for us in this ministry. If you want to financially support us, we would be very thankful for that. But we just thank you that you're here this morning. We are looking at Romans chapter 5. We had talked about in Romans chapter 4, Paul bringing to a point that faith was what we needed. Faith in Christ is the way out. Faith in Christ is the victory. Faith in Christ is God's redemption. Faith in Christ is a righteous life exchanged for our wicked and dark life. We are new creatures in Christ through faith. What a wonderful message, because let's face it, I don't know all the 600 and something laws that are in the Old Testament, and I would have to do a ton of studying before I even had a chance. And then furthermore, having to obey every single one of those laws in order to then be right with God, when he has made it so clear the power, the divine power of God can be in your soul through faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith is a faith that turns our back on sins. We don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to overcome. We don't know anything except that I hate that life. I don't want anything to do with it. And now I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to cleave to Jesus Christ. I'm going to hold on to him like a life vest. If I was thrown over a ship side in the middle of an ocean and I had nothing but one of those little like lifesaver tubes, I'm going to hold on to that for all I'm worth, because there is no hope in anything else except I stay afloat. And there's the same thing with Jesus. There's no hope in anything, any way other than Jesus Christ. And so as we look in Romans chapter 5, we are beginning to then see what the result of this faith is, what the result should be, what we should be looking for, and may God help us as we go through this. It says, therefore, now I would say this to everybody, when you read the scriptures and it says, therefore, you must see what it's there for. Because Paul has very long strings of arguments that we have to understand what he's saying. And so when we see therefore, let's go back, you know, a few verses, even a chapter if we need to refresh ourselves to get the idea of what Paul's saying so that we can rightly apply what we're about to read. Therefore, because faith is the connection, because faith is the victory, because faith is for your justification, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, what's the result? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is tremendous. Because of my faith, I am justified, so I am pardoned. The law has no demand over me. The law cannot threaten me anymore. I have been forgiven. My sins have been removed from me. As far as the east is from the west, they're not held against me anymore. And instead of the wrath of God that I had found on me when I was not right with God, when I had sinned against him and I had not repented and believed on Jesus Christ, I had that wrath, but now it's different. Now I have turned my back on sin and believed on Jesus Christ. And he says, now what you experience is peace. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, does that lubricate the inner workings of the soul when we have peace. I can just say for my own testimony, when I was not saved, I had no peace. I remember at that point, my conscience was a little bit bothered by the way that I was living. And so I tried to, do something different. I instinctively thought I probably should read a Bible. I probably should go to church or something like that. I had enough of that kind of a knowledge to think that that probably was going to help me out in my situation. But I had a hard time sleeping. I had a hard time thinking about a whole lot of other things because I just felt the wrath of God. I felt that I am in big trouble. And yet at the same time that I felt the wrath of God, I also felt the love of God, because he was trying to draw me to himself and he wouldn't step on my toes. I had to make the choice. And you know, when I finally surrendered to him, when I said, I'm done with this life of sin. I'm not making any excuses for it anymore. Lord, I hate this and I've done all these things. Please forgive me. And I believed on him. I had peace. All that turmoil was gone. And dear listener, that peace can be yours if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you turn your back on sin, repent and believe on Jesus, then you will know the peace of God through your Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's not just that. We have more. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we've entered into this realm now of grace. And we have further access for more grace because of that, with that same faith that we entered in to that born again experience, with the same faith that had justified us freely, that made us right with God. That same faith is the key to unlock the treasures of his grace to help me to live now the way that he wants me to live. And it's glorious. It's wonderful. We have grace to overcome sin. We don't stay a slave of sin anymore and just say that we have, you know, believed and we have imputed righteousness. And so Jesus obeys for me so I don't have to. We have the key, which is faith, the same faith that I exercise in order to come to God and to be saved, to be forgiven. That same faith allows me to open up the storehouses of grace, and I can reach in and get grace for anything that I need. And so this grace isn't just a favor and acceptance with God, though that is part of it, but it's rejoicing in hope for the glory of God and inheritance in heaven. It is rejoicing in the fact that now the grace of God is mine. So whatever this wicked world throws at me, whatever pressures come my way, I don't have to fail. I don't have to go back into that life again. I have the grace of God to make me an overcomer in all things. Verse number 3, he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How is glorying in tribulations? Are you out of your mind? How is this even possible? Through the grace of God, it is. Because if we will walk with Jesus, it says we shall suffer persecution. We're going to find that. I know when I first got saved, it came straight from my family. Then it came from people in a United Methodist church that I grew up in that didn't know what it was to be saved. And I thought that these people, I was like, wow, I joined the club. You know, I found what these people found. And I soon found out that they did not know what I was talking about. And they were actually angry at me, which made me change which church I was going to, because I was trying to still seek out, Lord, what is the truth then? I thought that these people believe this, but this, apparently they don't. And I found that tribulations and troubles have come. I had Lyme disease for 2.5 years. Really bad that laid me out. I'm actually going through another bout of it again, which is not super easy to deal with. But the thing is, through God's grace, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And this word patience here is endurance. It's not just, I'm just going to be sweet and patient. It is holding up under the long haul. It is not just, you know, fainting at every time something is difficult. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we do feel like fainting. Sometimes we're weary and we're beat. But there's something through the grace of God that says, just keep going, keep holding on, keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting God, keep plugging along, don't give up. There's something inside of us, and that's what the grace of God does. And that tribulation works that endurance. The more we overcome those little setbacks in life, the stronger we get, and we endure more and yet more. And then in verse 4, it says, and patience, experience, and experience hope. So the more I endure, the more experience I have of the grace of God and this wonderful salvation and the riches of his grace and what he will give to me, I experience it all the more. And with that experience, I gain more hope, because now it's like, God, help me through A, B, C, and D. He's always come through. He's never let me down. He has helped me. And, you know, we can find in the scriptures as well that God has come through for his people that trusted in him. He gave them the endurance through his grace. And, you know, I have a pastor, and he's gone through a lot of difficulties in his life. He's got MS now, and he can't even lift his arms up. People have to feed him, have to help him pretty much do everything. But when you talk with him, there's just such a positivity about him. He said, oh, brother, God always comes through. Never give up on God. Keep praying and keep trusting. He's so wonderful. He always comes through. Every time I talk with him, that's what he says. And it's a challenge to my own heart. You know, I often remember, oh, my pastor, Lord, if you can help him through these most difficult times, oh, God, help me and give me the grace now. And that grace is for us. In this grace wherein we stand, we have access to it by faith into this grace. And you know, when we get that hope through the experience, hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's like as the God just sheds his love inside of our hearts as we continue to endure, as we continue to just obey him when we're given kind of these ultimatums. It's like, you know, you can kind of turn away a little bit here because it's too hot and it's too heavy, or you can just keep walking with God and let him take care of these difficulties. And the more we keep making those choices for him, the more he just dumps his grace out, the more he just fills our heart with his love, which is shed abroad in us through the Holy Ghost. Don't give up, dear listener. Keep going. Keep trusting. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So think about it. When you were a sinner, Jesus took the first step and died for you. Now, in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But then think of Christ. Christ didn't even die for good men. He died for evil men. He took that step before we ever had any consideration to move toward him. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, that's the love of, that God has for us. That's the first step that he took. So he's saying, if you think about the great lengths that God did through Christ to get a hold of you when you were living in sin and you had no hope. He says, think about that. That's the great lengths of his love. But now listen in verse 9, but much more, dear believer, dear Christian, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Here's the thing. He's saying God went to all this lengths. He took the first step when you were a sinner. He was going through all the turmoils and the troubles of the cross. He got himself nailed to that cross, allowed it to happen because he had you in view, hoping that you would hear the gospel call, that you would repent, that you would turn. He opened the doors wide for you. All you had to do was repent and believe, but the door had been opened a long time ago. And he's saying, dear believer, if you have already taken hold of that salvation, that justification through faith, if that is already yours, how much more is God going to help you now that you're saved? How much more is he going to deliver you from wrath? How much more is he going to deliver you from any sin re-entering your life and threatening to drown you? How much more is he going to deliver you from your troubles, from your sorrows, from your pains, from depressions, from anxieties, from anything that threatens your soul, from anything that threatens your walk with God? How much more is God going to step in and help you now that you have been reconciled? You are not his enemy. You are a child of God. He has pledged himself to take care of you. How much more then is God going to help you? And that should be something that every single one of us is thinking about. So when we think about justification by faith, thank God that he's tossed our sins behind us and he's far removed them as far as the east is from the west. Very thankful for all that. But there's more to the Christian life than simply forgiving my past sins. There is a life now that he wants me to live. And oftentimes I think people, they get a little scared when they give their lives to God because they think, how am I going to keep this up? How am I going to live in such a way where I'm not a hypocrite? You just lay that down at the feet of Jesus Christ. If you have entered in by faith, that same faith will give you access to his grace. And you can stand up to the tribulations. You can stand up to the troubles, the sorrows, the pains, the setbacks. You can stand up if any old sins try to threaten you and say, hey, you're going to go back in this rut. You say, no, I don't have to. I have access to his grace through faith. And we cry out to God and we believe that that same power that raised up our dead spirit to new life can keep us. We're kept by the power of God through faith, as Peter said. Dear listener, don't give up. If you are a believer, you are reconciled to God. How much more will God's grace help you now? Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. If you are local, we can go get a coffee somewhere. If not, I'd love to talk with you over the phone. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we're out in the Wilkes-Barre Public Square having a street meeting. And immediately following at 6:30, we have a Bible study at Abide Coffee Shop. Also, 4 p.m. on Sunday, we have a street meeting. You are invited, and we would love to see you there.